In the wake of Hurricane Michael, we are still in recovery. I've got Kay Dennis. She's the Municipal Development Director for the City of Marianna and author Surviving Hurricane Michael, a great story that's coming out here in a couple of weeks. Pastor Darius Washington will talk about the role of faith in the face of life's storms. And our good buddy Eric Durant, he's got a new song coming out. We're going to play it for you here this morning. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
Here we are again, my friend. You and I, we broadcast simultaneously Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock on Moose Magnificat streaming radio, and you can listen from the website at moosemagnificat.com. You can download the app and listen on your phone. We've got the link right there on the site. If you go to moosemagnificat.com, go to listen, and there's the link. You can download the app. That's nifty. Or you can listen on TuneIn, or you can ask Alexa. Say, Alexa, start Moose Magnificat, and you're good to go. Tallahassee Radio to the World, it is. Lots of great shows on there, including this one, if I may say so. Danny Bedrosian has his program called Danny on Everything. That is fabulous. And he gets listeners from around the globe. You know, I mean, I'm lucky to get people from around the block. But Danny, you know, he's an international rock star, so fine. Whatever. Then again, you have our live broadcast tonight, 9 o'clock. Live from the BBC with host Brett Wellman talking about rock stars. Well, he's more like a blues star. Yeah. He and Chris Balding, they won this competition, you know, regional blues duo kind of thingy with the International Blues Society, I think it's called. So now they get to go to Memphis? Yeah. Or Nashville. Somewhere in Tennessee. See, I'm not big on details like that. I figure just I'll get in the car, start driving, I'll figure it out once I, you know, I'm on the road. Anyway, that happens in January, coming up in a few months. So between now and then, we're going to be reminding you because we want to do a little fundraising for our good buddy Brett Wellman and his partner there, Chris Balding, which remarkably, they turned out a great performance at this competition here a few months back. They were down in Gainesville, and it's available online. You can go listen to it. I think the song they played on that occasion was Lemonade Stand, which has a pretty funny song, actually. But it's a great song and a good thing for them. And so Brett's pleased to bring to you then Saturday nights, 9 o'clock, live from the BBC. We carry about an hour and a half of the live show out there. And if you've never done this, you really need to, because you know what? The BBC is, man, that's at the heart and soul of this community, dating back, you know, 100 years or better. Part of that whole Chitlin circuit. Yeah, talking to Gary Antone recently, we got into kibitzing about the old days, and I mean some of the historic aspects of this club, It turns out that back in those days, too, Frenchtown, man, that was a happening place, thriving economic hub for the community. And the likes of Ray Charles and Cannonball Adderley playing in Frenchtown. Well, Gary's telling me, you know, those dudes, they'd play through till 2 o'clock in the morning, and those clubs would close up, but not the Bradfordville Blues Club, or whatever it was called in those days. I guess it was the Bradfordville Blues Club. But the point is that they would come out and sit in, because that thing, man, I would just keep going. And it's kind of sort of still that way, but nonetheless, it has for this community been that point of reference for people across the country, certainly among black artists who made their way from Mississippi to Florida and back, because that was the only option, right? With segregation being the rule of the day, they played at those clubs where they were welcome. And I think for us now, it's a big part of why we can better embrace various parts of this community, what we are, who we are, where we've come from, and perhaps more importantly, where we're going. And what does the future look like? And that's what this show is really all about. It's us looking not only at our current circumstances and our history, but then where are we headed from here? What kind of town do we want to be? How much has changed by design? How much by default? How much by immigration? People coming in from other parts of the country with fresh ideas and maybe a new way of doing something, or just a different attitude, looking for a way to contribute. We've certainly seen plenty of that, I would say most notably in the last 10 years or so. Along with something like this, here's an announcement, the longest table. You know about this? So the longest table happens every year, and when it happens, people come together. It brings the community to a time and a place. And the question is, what happens when that happens? What happens among those people who participate in this event? A continuous table that is set up along Duval Street between Madison Street and College Avenue to share a meal. Share some conversation, share vision for the community. Yeah. So there's a video on YouTube, which is kind of cool. If you go to YouTube and search The Longest Table, it's coming up here this month, October 27th. That's a Sunday at 5:30, again, along Duval Street between Madison and College. Magnificent idea, it really is. Here's a quote from Mayor Daley. He says, "Amazing things happen when our community comes together, which is why we're proud to host the longest table. Residents from across the community will enjoy a meal while sharing their ideas and thoughts about how we can continue working together toward creating even a better Tallahassee." Let's see, who else do we have here? This is Jimbo Jackson. And so Commissioner Jackson says, "This year's event will continue that tradition of asking us all how we can strengthen and move our community forward. Pull up a chair, get ready to talk, and enjoy the longest table." Again, it's on the 27th, Sunday afternoon, starting at 5:30. And yes, we are into the fall of the year officially, with some cooler weather coming our way the last few days. Yay! And it's the perfect time to clean out the trash and the clutter that's filling your house and your garage. Oh boy, somebody's been taking pictures of my house. That's not good. To help you get rid of unwanted items, City of Tallahassee offering up its biannual Cash for Trash. That's today. It's going on. Started at 8 o'clock this morning, goes till 2 p.m. this afternoon. And it's at the Community Beautification and Waste Management Facility that's located at 2727 Municipal Way. Make note of that. So it's a biannual Cash for Trash. Residents are encouraged to bring their household hazardous waste items and bulky items that are too large to fit in their 96-gallon garbage container. Okay, so you bring your stuff to the event, and that's properly disposed of. and or recycled for beneficial use. Examples of items are batteries, electronics, cleaners, paints, pesticides, and such. These household hazardous waste items can have serious impact, and so they want to do it properly. That's great. Don't want that going into the water system or sewer system. Exactly. Residents can also bring old furniture or household appliances, small stuff, tires. You're limited to 4 per customer, though. No commercial tires. So, and then what happens? The city says, you know what? Thank you for doing that. We're going to give you a $5 credit on your utility bill just for showing up and doing that for us. Hey, $5, man. Cash for trash, it's called. All right, folks, here we are. We've got Nancy Dignon standing by with another My Weather View. Stay with me. We'll be back right after this.
The devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you, our heroes, the men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Sperry & Associates, planning, design, and construction since 1973. Online at sperryconstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Nancy Dignon is standing by with another My Weather View. We love learning more about why weather happens the way it does, and that is something that Nancy is very good at explaining. Celebrated weathercaster that she is, and meteorologist teaching out there at TCC. And proud to present her as the spokesperson, the official spokesperson for our annual Tallahassee Prepared campaign, which, as you know, is all about staying prepared for severe weather throughout the year because, you can say it with me, staying prepared is more than a season. It's an attitude. You got to just kind of keep it in mind and think through all of those possibilities, the permutations that may lie ahead of you, and how it is that, in fact, when we hear on the anniversary, now having just come past that fateful day a year ago when Hurricane Michael came a-knocking, and man, what a punch. So today's show, we've been bringing to you and have up ahead some of the folks that have lived through it and are still dealing with it, Kate Dennis. But as we talk about the weather, it's always good to have that perspective that is a bit more analytical, certainly scientific in perspective, and Nancy's proficient there, and so we'll have her with us here momentarily. The whole thing is brought to you by Plylox Hurricane Clips. Yeah, there's a nice tie-in, right? So these folks out in Texas, Plylox Company, remarkable story, family-owned. Robert Fee, before his passing, spent many years developing this idea that you and I could have a sheet of plywood pre-cut, ready to go. You know, storm weather warnings are up ahead, and we're preparing for the worst. And so with that in mind, even on short notice, you can grab this sheet of plywood that you've got in storage there, get your Plylox clips in hand, and I've done it with one, you know, as one individual by myself. But then I'm kind of a moosey sort of guy, you know. If you're not my size, you might want to have a little help. It could be a four-hand job, in other words. In any case, it's easy enough to put that piece of plywood in place, and then you push the clips onto the plywood, pushing the whole affair into the space for the window, and man, you're in good shape. And they've got a design of these various kinds of clips for every application, whether you have a brick, or a wood frame or metal. They work for businesses that have metal storefronts. Yeah, it's all very, very clever stuff, but simple enough that you and I can work it without too much difficulty. And I mean, you know, I'm probably not the most challenged, but I mean, I'm certainly no engineer, so I got this thing figured out. Anyway, Plylox Hurricane Clips, the presenting sponsor for this year's Tallahassee Prepared promotion. You can find that online at TallahasseePrepared.com. Learn more about what you can do to prepare for severe weather at any time. High heat and humidity, or on a morning like this, I should say at a time like this, on this weekend when, you know, rain has come upon us. Now, thankfully, not storm weather, but, a fair amount of, precipitation that has implications. So if you're in a flood zone area, yeah, you got to keep that in mind. Certainly, you want to make sure that in these circumstances, you have resources available to you if you need to relocate, kind of have thought through that. The whole point, of course, is that you don't want to be caught flat-footed when you're trying to deal with high winds or heavy rains. Yeah, so there you go. In fact, I have a couple of other announcements for you as well. Chain of Parks Art Festival, once again rated among the top three fine art festivals in the country. Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival, announced earlier this month, came out in Sunshine Artist Magazine, their September issue. Art Festival ranked number 3 best 100 fine art and design festivals in the country. So a good shout out there for our good friends over there at Chain of Parks Art Festival. They do such a good job and represent this community quite nicely, celebrating its 20th anniversary. The annual Chain of Parks Art Festival, produced by Lemoyne Arts, presented by Mad Dog Construction, Saturday and Sunday, April 18 and 19 in 2020. Can you believe it? We're saying that already, 2020. Bluxome, Lewis, and Randolph Chain of Parks, located in downtown Tallahassee. Well, that's that. Now, I believe that I'm just about out of time here. We're going to get out of the way for Nancy Dignon and another My Weather View.
Hi, I'm Nancy Dignon, and this is My Weather View for this week. So I want to talk a little bit about cones, what we call the cone of uncertainty with respect to hurricanes and the hurricane forecast. These are the graphics that you see, and it has a little bit of a funnel shape. And what that means is, as you look at the graphic for a hurricane and where the Hurricane Center is projecting it to move to, and over these different time frames, you will see that the track gets broader as you go out in time. So in a short-term sense, when we're talking 24 to 48 hours, it's a narrow area or margin of error. So it's really kind of a small, thin area where, you know, it could shift either to the right or to the left. As you head out 72 hours, 3 days, and then all the way out to 5 days, which is what the Hurricane Center is now giving you a forecast for, it is a much wider region. And that's because the accuracy is a little bit less. And when they talk about the accuracy for hurricanes, and they show you the cone, what they are saying, and this is really the importance of this, what they're saying is 2 out of 3 times the center of that hurricane, it doesn't mean the full impact of it, but the center of the hurricane 2 out of 3 times is going to fall within that cone. Now, again, keep in mind, you might see the skinny black line in the center of it, but they know, we know, that it could be either to the right or to the left, and that would be of those forecast positions. So as you go out 72 hours, as you go out 96 hours, all the way up to the 5 days, it broadens immensely because the accuracy just isn't there. And when they say, here's the forecast zone, it's the center. Keep in mind that a hurricane is on average about 250 miles across. So, you know, it's going to impact a large area. The area is going to be way outside the cone. Because if the center is to the left inside the cone and you still have maybe 125 miles on its left side, the impact is well west or well left of where they were predicting it. I don't want you to think that the Hurricane Center is wrong or the accuracy is terrible. It's not as good as day-to-day forecasting, but the cone means at different time frames, here's what we're thinking, and 2 out of 3 times they're right. one out of three times they're not. Also keep that in mind. This has been Ansi Dignan, and that was my weather view for this week.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Darius Washington is a Florida-based music artist, producer, entrepreneur, one of the industry's best-kept secrets, in fact. His writing is penetrating, his musicianship is multidimensional, and his business acumen is undeniable. And he is our guest this morning. How are you, Mr. Washington?
I am doing great, man. How about yourself?
Nice to see you. Yeah, it's been a while. We're trying to get you into the studio. Highly acclaimed you are.
Absolutely, man.
But in high demand as well, so it's not easy to, you know, catch you on the run when you've got so much going on. I want to tell folks, too, that your career began about 9 years ago, back in 2010, as a composer and a Christian artist. Stylistically, you created a sound inspired by a fusion of CCM, gospel, and acoustic soul. Tell us what that means.
Yeah. So I've always been an acoustic artist, right? I started off on the piano, but then I kind of bridged into playing the acoustic guitar, and I always loved gospel music, of course. I grew up in a very traditional church. But then I started to listen to a lot of contemporary Christian music, and I loved that. So I wanted to kind of create a fusion of the three.
I got you.
A lot of my music, you'll hear organ in it, or sometimes you'll just hear an orchestra. You know what I mean? Or sometimes it could be very soulful within a guitar. So, yeah.
But in any case, your music is focused on a faith message, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely rooted and grounded in the message of faith. Not just Christian, but definitely faith.
Yeah.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah. Now, my understanding is you, having grown up in Clearwater, did some work in Atlanta for a while, and now you're relocating, and you're going to be one of us, Tallahasseans.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We love it here so far. It's been very quiet and tranquil.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we can fix that.
You know what I mean? Coming from Atlanta, and even Tampa's a pretty big city.
Indeed.
It's very active, very fast. Mm-hmm. And when we moved here, we came with the intent, of course, to open the church and plant a ministry here.
I got you. Yeah, let's talk about that. This fellowship you're calling Faith Life Church, a multicultural church with a passion to reach and pursue purpose for all people, all walks of life, through the hope and love of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's a mouthful, man.
Absolutely.
Now, the multicultural aspects of that are intriguing for me because I've been here 40 years, right?
Right.
And to have seen in the last two decades an infusion of ethnic and cultural diversity as much as we have thus far is really a remarkable thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way I measure that, by the way, is to look at the number of festivals now that we have that we didn't, you know, like, you know, 20, 25 years ago or better. You had one festival.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And it was pretty much the same people every year marching down the street in funny costumes and stuff.
Right.
And that was it. And it was more a celebration of our past than it was anything else.
Sure, yeah.
Now, we got everything from gay pride to the Seafood Festival and Word of South. And,
absolutely.
And here you come wanting to be a part of that multicultural approach. What does that look like for you as a church? How does that translate into real behavior?
For us, and that's such a great question, man, by the way, it's and it's the one that I love to answer. It's very simple. I always tell people that multiculturalism for me is just identifying people as people. And nothing more, nothing less. Instead of saying, oh, this is a black church, or this is a Caucasian church, or this is a Hispanic ministry, or this is a Haitian ministry. This is just a ministry where we love on God and we love people, period. No matter your orientation, your creed, whatever the case may be, we all desire to emulate the image of Christ.
What does that look like? I mean, because one might easily think about how many churches we have already.
Sure.
Why do we really need another church?
One? Yeah.
I mean, how do you answer
Absolutely.
That?
Yeah, I just had this question. And you know, I said, if every church here in Tallahassee, or anywhere for that matter, was completely full, jam-packed, oozing out of the front door with a line down the street, we would still need another church. Because I just feel that you're talking about over 7 billion people in the world that need a message of hope and that need a message of love. As long as the suicide rate is going up, we need churches. As long as the divorce rate is going up, we need churches. As long as the crime rate here in Tallahassee is as ridiculous as it is, we need more churches. More voices.
I used to know these numbers, but out of touch now. But I had done the math to your point that if you took the number of churches in Tallahassee, and I want to say I think I came up with about 200, maybe 300.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
So if the average church building, let's say, will hold 500, right? So you do the math, 500 times maybe 200,
right?
So that was only then a third of the population.
Absolutely, yep.
We're talking about 500,000 people, a million people in the metro area.
Yep, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So your point is well taken that not only do we not see people lined up at the door, we see a lot of empty buildings.
Yep.
If you don't know this, just hang out on a Sunday morning.
Right.
Drive around town. Look at all the people that are shopping.
Right.
At the grocery store, the hardware store. You know, they're out there mowing their lawns.
Hanging tight. Yeah.
And you know, that for me, that raises a big question. What are we missing?
Sure.
With people, what are we not doing?
I think that church has become a thing that we, a lot of pastors and a lot of organizations have been afraid to integrate into people's lifestyle. And what I mean by that is there's been a lot of inreach when it comes to church and not as much outreach. And I know inreach is not really a word, but from a concept perspective, churches are like, here we are, come visit us on Sunday, versus Jesus was at the well. Jesus was at the shore. Jesus was on the lawn. You know what I mean? It's like you have to break beyond the barrier of the four walls and submerge yourself into people's lifestyle. You know, we have to find out where church and fishing can correlate. We have to find out where church and Zumba can correlate. Where can basketball and football intertwine with church? And so many years, people have disconnected lifestyle from church as if it's like if you're like doing everyday stuff, you're this, you know, you're in sin, or you know what I mean, or you're doing something you're of the world, you know, you should be submerged in God and you should be at the temple praying and you should, you know, but that's not realistic.
Interesting,
you know what I mean?
That you bring up that thought, because this is a conversation I have frequently with pastors and with church leaders, the whole concept of sin.
Right.
What is sin? So since you have that figured out, we're going to take a quick break, and then you can enlighten
we'll
us when
in.
We
yeah,
get
man.
Back.
Absolutely.
Folks, we're talking with Darius Washington, newly arrived to Tallahassee, setting up a shop here with Faith Life Church. Going to continue his music and continue to supply his listeners with a faithful, faith-filled message. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
We'll be right back. My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Darius Washington. He is a remarkable individual, multi-talented. You've actually seen and heard him on television networks like BET and The Word Network Live and multiple radio media outlets internationally. He opened has opened for gospel megastar Shirley Caesar, Dwayne Woods, Marvin Sapp, Tasha Cobbs, a whole bunch of folks. And then to add to his growth as a musician, he has a new production banner, Cornerstone Media. Wow, tell us about Cornerstone Media.
Yeah.
What is that?
Cornerstone, actually, it came from a motivation, I guess a vision that I had, that I wanted to create faith-based content beyond music. So I figured, you know, how could we get into television production, film production? These are things that were all passions of mine that I had some working knowledge of just being around in the industry.
Right.
And built some relationships with a lot of great directors and producers. Mm. So I said, hey, let's create an avenue to be able to create content under. So now whenever I do music or film or television production or anything in that wheelhouse, it's under the Cornerstone banner. But we do have a responsibility to multiply what we have. So sometimes I ask God, like, why did you give me so much vision? And you know what I mean? Why did you like bless me with so many talents? Because now I have an obligation to pursue. And that's kind of where I land at with all of that. It's just always pray for the timing of God of when to pursue, but always acknowledge the responsibility that a pursuit must take place.
I mean, that I can certainly confirm, and I would echo so many of the projects that I have personally engaged in or have done so as part of a group.
Right.
Man, God's timing is without replacement. You cannot.
Yep.
I mean, you can, but you do so at your own peril.
Right.
But that comes back to this business then of what it means to commit sin, right?
Right.
What I found interesting, see if you confirm this,
sure.
But I found people talking about sin as if it was of the breaking of the commandments, or you took a drink, or you smoked cigarettes, or you cheated on her, he cheated on you. I mean, you lied, you stole. These are the sins that we're talking about that I've got to repent of, or repent from, get forgiveness.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
And so I better just try to keep my slate clean here as long as, as much. And man, you talk about a burden.
Right.
And then I hear that verse that says, come unto me, those of you who are heavily burdened.
Right.
Well, I can't think of a more tasked, oriented life, burdensome life, than somebody who has all of this, quote, sin going on.
Right.
But then I had a guy look at me and say, see, that's not the sin he's talking about. He's talking about self-reliance.
Right.
He's talking about you deciding what is right and wrong.
Absolutely.
And you deciding that you're going to be your own
God.
Your own God. Your own righteousness.
Absolutely.
Your own measure of.
Yep.
And the gospel is not that. The gospel is, I am, and you're not.
Right.
But I will give you who I am.
Sure.
And so when you talk about talents,
right?
Man, look at what I've done. Well, yeah, but maybe you stepped out of God's timing.
This is true.
Because you're the guy
who
was calling all those shots.
Right.
Once again, relying on
self. Yep.
Whereas that surrendered life is about yielding to his timing.
Yep.
You agree with that?
Absolutely. Oh. I, you know, with regards to sin, I definitely agree with those different things. You know, this person's doing this, or you broke a commandment, or whatever the case may be. Mm. In the Bible, it talks about how the law was nailed to the cross. And when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, but I'll say it in two parts. It was nailed to the cross, but he also said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So, and what that means is he came as grace to bridge the gap between our efforts of righteousness and our execution of righteousness. So where we want to do right and can't is where Jesus Christ bridges the gap. You know what I mean? Because the truth is like you said,
he is our righteousness. Yeah.
You can't escape sin, right? Like even if you master one of them, you know, it's you're gonna have something else like on the back end that you just can't. You can't. So it was like he had to come.
You know the vision that this guy gave me. I'm telling you about this individual who was trying to help me. This is, you know, 30 years ago, but it changed my life because I grew up in the church. I was baptized when I was an infant. I accepted Christ when I was 12. I committed my life to serving God when I was 16.
Wow. Yeah.
I went through high school, college, graduate school, got married, had four kids, now here. All of that has happened in a flash.
Right.
But in the course of all that, about midstream, I'd say, that idea was presented to me. It's not up to you to try to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
And I kept looking around, and the most miserable people I knew were the people who were trying to be like Jesus and doing whatever that meant.
Yep.
You know, twice on Sunday, every Wednesday night, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever their thing was, they're just miserable people.
Right.
And I was one of them.
Wow.
And he said, it's like this. This guy said, Jesus is standing at the other end of the swimming pool, and you're waist deep and facing away from him. And every time a little ping pong ball comes floating by, you're going to take control of that, right? And pretty soon, there are more ping pong balls than you can handle.
Right.
You turn around, Jesus is standing next to a truckload,
a
dump truck load full of ping pong balls.
Right.
And he just keeps
throwing them
into the water, watching to see what you're going to do. There's that notion that God brings us to a place where he says, I love you too much to let you believe that it's all up to you to make it work.
Right.
It's
absolutely
not. And to do that then is self-reliance equals sin.
Yeah, huh. Absolutely.
And you're not 64 years old. And I look at you in your young life, and here you are setting out. You've got all this music career behind you, starting this fellowship. Mm-hmm. You're going to be meeting over at
Tallahassee Community College,
right? Yep. Using facilities there.
Yep.
That's a good idea. Much success to you, my friend. Let's make sure we have you back.
Absolutely.
Let us know what else we can do to help you.
I'm definitely excited. Glad to be here, man. Glad to be a part.
Glad to have you on board and glad to have you here in Tallahassee.
I know, that's right, man. All right. Maybe I can find some good seafood here.
I hear there is some. Okay. Absolutely. We'll turn you on to that.
Good deal.
Darius Washington is the man's name. Our guest this morning talking about all things related to this life in Christ that he is determined to deliver in his music, in all of his songs, and all the work that he's doing, including Faith Life Church that they're setting up over there on the west side of town. We look forward to having him back.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for being our guest. Pastor Darius Washington, everybody. We've got more coming up. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you, our heroes, the men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945, online at widenglass.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Another hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks, in its eighth season. Boy, oh boy, can you believe it? I don't feel 8 years older. Certainly don't act like I am. That's another topic for another time. Clearly, there are a few of you who have found this show worthwhile, and I appreciate the comments and the compliments that we do get. And if you don't have nice things to say, thanks for keeping that to yourself. Nah, I mean, I think we're all thick-skinned enough around here to take a little constructive criticism. So, you know, and if the first line is, can you find somebody else to do this job? I mean, I would be right there with you, pal. I'm looking. If you want the job, let me know. But in my humble opinion, somebody needs to talk about the great things that go on around this town, around this region, and the great people that are the people that make this town what it is. And it's been argued that's our greatest natural resource. And I would agree. I think when you look at how it is that people come together, not just in times of crisis, although that's heartwarming, but there's a kind of connectivity that goes on. It's hard to talk to people who don't know the people that you know. It's, I mean, like 2 degrees of separation is sort of the story around here. We're going to find that out in this hour when I've got Kay Dennis. Man, you want to know what's going on over in Mariana, Jackson County? She can tell you. In fact, she's telling it in spades because she's got a new book coming out, Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community's Story of Devastation. You want to stay tuned for that. She'll be with me as we continue here in this hour of the show. By the way, don't forget that you can find us online, TallahasseeTalks.com, where you can download, you can listen in. All the shows are archived there for your convenience. Going back, man, as far back as we go. If you do a search on a given topic or a guest, let me pop it up there for you. If you have any trouble with that, you can always email us. Or if you have a suggestion for a guest or topic, you know what that is, right? Topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. See? We make this so easy for you. You can thank me later. That's good. Now, to the subject at hand, let's point out that we are now a year away from this occurrence, October 10th, 2018. And having just come past that fateful anniversary date, the stories that continue to come out of the region are multiple. The recovery is slow and painful. There has been some. It's not all bad news. And in fact, you have to credit Alex Workman and his wife, Chelsea, they have put together a series of recordings, and they've been talking with some of the people in the community. Nate Odom is one of those. Is a business owner over there. In fact, I think he's owner of the Mexico Beach Marina. So we're going to take just a moment, and I want you to listen to what he has to say about the work that is being done and the response that they've witnessed from the people in that community and our community or other communities around. So Nate Odom, business owner in Mexico Beach.
That's been amazing. I mean, really, from day one. I tell a lot of people, not the National Guard and Red Cross and everyone else, but I mean, just how everyone came in. I mean, a lot of the denominational congregations, the churches throughout the area, everyone taking care of each other. What you and Chelsea have done, and your crew and your group of people. I mean, it's just been it's been humbling. It's been you know, talking about the heart, and you know, that's probably not something a lot of times that I would do, or our other friend we were just talking to would do. But it's like I said, it's, you know, the Lord has a way of humbling you, and certainly that happened to a lot of us back in October. But it's also really refreshing to see just how we all take care of each other, and then how people like yourself want to come in and try to step up and just do something. A lot of people, they want to help, but they don't have a direction. They don't know. They don't have a vehicle. They don't know exactly how to go about doing it. But you all did. And then like speaking about the mural that's going to be there for years to come, and how it's already being enjoyed. And it's a symbol of, hey, you know, we're still here. We got this. It's, you know, like, we're not going anywhere.
So there you have it, a perspective that is a bit more encouraging. And this is a guy who expresses his own humility. The humility of having to realize, hey man, I cannot get this done by myself. Well, you know, that's kind of how it works around here. We realize that there's so much that needs to be done, that all of us need to do to be a part of making this thing work. And in that capacity, we've got a new song from Eric Durant. It's called Heart of the Storm. So let's take a listen to that. It's a great song. You're going to enjoy it. We'll be back after the break.
What do we do now when the rain comes down, when the lights go out, and all around are pieces of the life you had, when all that's left now is all you have? What do we do now? Yeah, what do we do now? We come together, we fall apart, and through it all somehow we find a new place to start. And in that moment we realize love's gonna make us stronger than before. In the heart of the storm, in the heart of the storm, yeah, what do we do now when time's running out, when desperation is the only sound, when so much is taken, when so much is lost, when the price is too high to count the cost. What do we do now? Yeah, what do we do now? We come together, we fall.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Hard to believe, but it has now been a year. A year of waiting, a year of recovery, a year of bewilderment, healing, and a year of frustration for a lot of people who have been affected by the challenges that continue to plague the victims of Hurricane Michael are being told over and over again in various ways and in various settings. Today we have with us Kay Dennis. Now, Kay is the Municipal Development Director for the City of Marianna. Clearly, smack dab in the path of this unprecedented hurricane. She is a member of the American Institute for Certified Planners. She's got her bachelor's in arts degree in political science, international affairs, and a master's in business administration and public administration, and then an advanced diploma in theology. Woman is accomplished academically, and a bachelor of arts degree in theology. She's now in the process of finishing her third master's degree and working towards her doctorate. 22 years of grant writing and city planning and experience, and 17 years of management experience. She says of herself, "In the position that I occupy at the City of Marianna, I have been submitting newspaper articles to the Jackson County Times, Jackson County Floridian, for about a year and a half, highlighting businesses in Marianna." She is married to Britt Dennis for 32 years, they are, and going strong. Two kids, two grandkids. She is a member of the Optimist Club of Jackson County, and I want to tell you, just at first blush, this woman is an optimist. Let's welcome Kay Dennis to the show. Hey, Kay.
Hey. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you with us. And you have this book entitled Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community's Story of Devastation. Tell us about that.
I'm in the process of finishing up the book, and right after the storm, Hayes Baggett, the chief of police, asked me to write a book, and I didn't get around to it till probably July because our permits in the office were increased by about 500%.
No kidding.
And when I started writing it, I realized I have these stories from the businesses, and I have my own story, but there were so many others that needed to be included.
Yeah.
Like the people out working in the field, the first responders.
No kidding.
And
the linesmen and the social workers and all of these people, yeah?
Right. And so at this point, I've interviewed over 100 people and listened to the brave stories of men and women. Mm. And you know, it's hard for them to tell their stories. And we have a story in Marianna, and it's important to be heard.
You know, what's remarkable to me, Kay, is the connectivity. That is to say, how we really are all connected to these outcomes. Even the families of those service personnel whose parent is heading off to deal with another issue. And there has already been a loss of life there. We've lost a few along the way, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And Brian, a lot of these people worked tirelessly for days on end without even checking their own homes. And we just can't say enough about them.
Well, and we've done this. We created this Hurricane Michael Heroes tribute that we have airing on local radio stations just as a way of, at the very least, you know, to say thank you, that your efforts are not unnoticed. And this goes out to the families of those people as well, because they're all in it. They're paying the price, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Every street in Jackson County was covered with trees.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell what road you were on. We're a rural area with a small population, but people were getting lost because the road signs were down and there were no landmarks from before the storm that you where you could recognize
right.
where you were going.
Right. Yeah. From my conversations already, those who were there even the day after, things were so devastated. I remember one fella that I've known for many years, and this guy is a tough old bird. And he's on the phone with me, and he's starting to choke up as he's looking across the landscape. And I heard him say, "Oh my God, that used to be the factory where they built the flatbeds for these semi trucks. The building is gone. All that's left is the slab. Entire forests of pine trees completely leveled or snapped off, where you could see the force of the wind just came through like a scythe and just cut them off." He was absolutely beside himself.
Every person that I interviewed broke down. It's just very hard to to go through it, relive it.
Yeah.
But every time you leave your house, you see it again. A very wise person told me that in the recovery process, the ones of us who loved the natural environment of Jackson County and Marianna will be gone before the recovery is over, and the younger generation won't remember what was there. It'll probably take that long.
My goodness.
Yeah.
In fact, it's been described this way to me, that it looks like a war zone, right? It has that characteristic. Then that brings to mind this question of post-traumatic stress disorder. I would imagine we're seeing a number of those kinds of cases, right?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but every time there's a storm, everybody pays attention. And some people say that Marianna was complacent, but one of our city commissioners told me his grandmother moved to Marianna in 1821, and there hasn't been a storm like this to hit since then. So for nearly 200 years, there hasn't been anything like this.
Out of nowhere, folks, that's what happened. We can talk to our beloved Nancy Dignon, a meteorologist. She'll give you the scientific explanation for the physics involved and, of course, all of the related variables that had to do with surface temperature of the water and air pressure and all that kind of thing. So you get this sort of clinical description, but then when you start to see its ramifications in the lives of those who have survived this storm, it is a story that will be with us forever. I hope you'll stay with me for just another few minutes because we're going to continue this conversation with Kay Dennis. We'll be back right after this.
The devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you, our heroes, the men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Super Signs, your best source for lighted signs, banners, and yard signs, now in their new location, just south of Mahan Drive at 3025 Nathan Lane, and online at yoursupersigns.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are talking with Kay Dennis. She's the Municipal Development Director for the City of Marianna. When I recall from about a year ago, you couldn't have access to the caverns, and now they've been able to do that. Is that right?
Limited access.
Mm-hmm.
I call Marianna heaven on earth.
Really?
It's beautiful.
Really?
It's just so beautiful. The people are wonderful. Hmm. And the storm is one thing that's brought us all closer together. And
I would
it's
imagine.
A wonderful place to raise children and live.
In writing this book, you've been able to knit together the stories of these survivors. Is that an observation you've made, that people really have pulled together to help each other out?
Yes. Well, especially after the storm,
Everybody,
it was neighbor helping neighbor. Do you need some food? Do you need some water? Let's get our chainsaws out and clear the road. Mm-hmm. And then the churches, they all joined in and helped. Mm. And we had a lot of outside help, too, that we were very appreciative of. But I think it bound us closer, and all differences, they didn't totally go away, but nobody noticed them as much.
So for you, this is exploratory. I mean, you were as much a victim as anybody. You walked through it. You survived it. But then you begin to kind of peel back the layers a little bit, and you find yourself in conversation with others. What was that like for you, where you're having to kind of relive it yourself?
When I was writing the book, I recorded the interviews, and I would have to hear some stories, or I chose to hear some stories that where people were in a house and that it fell down around them, and how frightened they were, and just or they went home after helping other people and they didn't have a house, and it was their family home and they had memories there. One man, his house burnt down after the storm. There's been a lot of fires. And so he was so happy to survive the storm, and then his house burnt down. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. And for all of these, two decades or better that you have lived in the area, right?
So I've lived there 53 years.
53 years. 53 years.
Yes, and when we hear a hurricane's coming, we have our little stash of water and canned goods, and we're ready, but honestly, I didn't think they would even lose electricity until the day of.
Well, and that begs the question, how would anyone prepare? How would a municipality prepare for this? I don't know.
I don't think there's really a clear way, but that's one thing that I touch on in the book.
Mm.
And even though no one had been through it or knew what to do, we had all these brave people making the right decisions, coming together, working together, and making things work.
Mm. Was there for you a sort of awakening, I guess, things that were more disturbing about the community? Were there aspects of it that were just sort of disappointing in the way that people were handling it? Were people like losing their temper and just kind of splitting up, pulling apart, or was it just the opposite?
It was just the opposite. Oh. Every single person that I talked to said, "We are just so blessed. We are so grateful." Mm. They were just so happy just to be alive, even though they may have lost everything.
We've done a lot of investigation with guys like Alex Workman and his wife. They've been over there in Mexico Beach chronicling a lot of their work and interviewing folks. But the recovery efforts are slow and painful.
Well, when FEMA visited last week, they said we've come a long way. And I have to say we have come a long way. But yes, it's slow, and you have to drive by it every day. And so even if you go home, you're in your house and everything's okay. When you go out the door, you see it. Every single day when you go home, you see it, and it's very hard for people.
You mentioned the obliteration of all of the landmarks and the street signs and all that sort of thing. So there was this, I guess, a destruction of all of those familiar points of reference, right? So you'd have some sense of where you are. One friend of ours was over there the day after, and she called me, and she's crying, and she said, people are standing in vacant lots in groups of 20 and more. They don't know where to go. They're just standing there. They're like zombies. They're in shock. And there's no orientation. So a lot of them then had to find their way to a local church. And I think there were three churches, maybe more at that time, that were sort of the staging area for people who were looking for shelter, right? But because their car is gone, the gas stations are gone, they had to walk. And some of those walks were 20 miles.
Right, under power lines and down trees and... I had one lady, that a single mother, who was afraid she's going to lose her children because of her home was devastated and her car was gone.
You know, one of the conversations that we had early on was the death toll. And it was, in this woman's estimation, understated. They were estimating somewhere in the 20s or 30s, 20, maybe 30 people. And she said, no, that's not going to be accurate. Though a lot of people waited and thought they could see this thing through. But when that wall of water arrived, it just took them away. And I think that there are a number of folks that were stunned to realize that they couldn't overcome the force of this event. Yet, those who have survived have found within themselves a resource and in one another. You mentioned FEMA. There was a bit of delay there, too, in the funding, which had to be additional insult upon injury, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah. A lot of things have to be funded up front. For a small town, that's difficult.
Yeah. And I guess the question was whether or not the federal agency was going to be able to release those funds. So this one woman said, well, we're just waiting on Congress to sign the check. And that took a number of months, I think, before that all began to come. At this point in the recovery, I mean, have you got a sense of where you are? You've already said, and it's been observed, it'll be decades before the area recovers. But in terms of day-to-day and getting some of these folks back online, would you say you're halfway there or less or more?
Maybe halfway. We still have people living in terrible conditions. Mm-hmm. We still have blue tarps everywhere. I talked to a contractor yesterday, and he's booked out to 2021. Mm-hmm. Some of our contractors left and went down to the coast because they could get more money there. But a lot of our good contractors stayed. What I would tell people is, if there's a storm coming, don't stay. Because if anything happens to you, people can't get to you to help you.
Right. Right.
I heard so many stories about people being injured or in the hospital bed and the roof's falling on them. Mm-hmm. And the workers, they cried about it too. They wished they could come and help, but they couldn't get through the roads. Mm. And that's why evacuation is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember folks that were driving I-10 and looking for that exit and finding out you can't get off at that exit. You got to keep going.
Right.
Because the exit was blocked.
Right.
Yeah. 53 years you've been in this community. How has your role changed in that now that you, I mean, you've made your living as this municipal planner, right?
Right.
And you're writing this book. What does your daytimer look like?
Oh.
How do you spend your time now?
Not much free time right now.
I was going to say. Yeah, talk about planning. You're planning out through the next 10, 15 years. Maybe you're just trying to plan for the next day, huh?
Yes.
Day by day. Well, her name is Kay Dennis. She's our guest this morning, Municipal Development Director over there in the city of Marianna, talking about post-Hurricane Michael recovery. You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for over 70 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The book is entitled Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community's Story of Devastation, Survival, and Recovery. It's going to be coming out here in the next few weeks. The book documents history through the stories of survivors and highlights the human side of what took place during and after Hurricane Michael coming through the Marianna community. How has it been, or how have those communities around Marianna behaved? I'm particularly interested in the Tallahassee community proper. We'll call it Tallahassee-Leon County. Because there have been efforts made to keep the topic fresh, there are groups of business people and political leaders, right? Civic leaders and such that have organized to try to keep the conversation alive. But has that made any real impact in outcome? I mean, are you seeing trucks coming in every day with loads of whatever you need, or how is that working?
Not anymore. We're not. We have a recovery group that's helping a lot of people.
And are those locals? They're recovery
locals.
Group is just local people. Yeah.
At first, probably the first 6 weeks, we had a lot of people coming from out of town with food, supplies, fuel. That was something you needed. Generators, because it was so hot. Now we don't have that so much. It is important to keep the story alive, and many people, I hear it every day, think that we're the forgotten area, that Marianna's been forgotten because we're not a population center. There hasn't been any big fundraising activities with movie stars or rock stars or anything over there trying to help us out. But our community also is in a low socioeconomic part of the country, and so they need help more than ever. And we do have concerns about people moving away. For some people, they didn't have insurance, or maybe they had the people were renting and the homeowners decided not to rebuild. And we don't want people to move away. We need to keep moving forward and try to rebuild the city.
It's a remarkable system that in and of itself has all of those sorts of interactivity or interactive variables, right? You mentioned, okay, so if the rental home is gone, where does that renter go? And if the population decreases because people can't find a place to live, well, that impacts the workforce as well as it does local consumption. So now the farmer's not selling what few vegetables he's got left as much, right?
Right. But on the other hand, I think there are opportunities for rebuilding better than ever.
A community that is markedly agricultural, agrarian, an agrarian economy, and you say, for that matter, lower income households.
Right.
I try to put that in perspective, and I think, what if we woke up tomorrow morning and the state capital was gone? And I mean, if we were no longer the capital of Florida. That's been suggested, by the way, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it has.
Right. But think about that. Or Florida State University said, hey, you know what? We're moving. We're gone. And it wouldn't be gradual. You know, imagine the devastation that would occur if you displace the thousands and thousands of people who rely upon just those two institutions for employment. Right? 60% of the population works for government in some capacity, my last recollection of that.
Right.
Well, here you have an economic base that's disappeared. Yeah. Whether it's pine trees or cotton. Right. One family said that they were expecting a bumper crop with the pecans last year. And all of that was taken away.
It takes years and years to grow pecan trees.
So with regard to the influx of people who showed concern, you say, well, in the first few months, yes. You know what that reminds me of? It's when the woman loses her husband and everybody comes to the funeral and they all come to the house and they bring the covered dish. And a couple of days goes by, maybe a few weeks goes by, and then everybody just sort of forgets.
Right.
And she's there by herself every day. So keeping that thought in mind, that sort of scenario, what do we need to do? What can we do as a community? If we are your family member, we're your sister, your brother, your cousin over here in Tallahassee, what do we do to help Mariana?
That's a good question.
You've been asking that for now 12 months or better. I know.
I know.
Well, you wrote a book about it, so that's a good thing. Maybe we should just buy a million copies of the book and you can donate all the proceeds, right?
Well, I am donating the proceeds to the city of Marietta.
Are you?
Yes, for recovery.
Wow.
So, yes, you could buy a bunch of books.
Let's do that. That's a good start anyway.
Yeah.
Will the book be available in local bookstores or online? How do we
Amazon.
Do it? Amazon. Okay. Well, let me repeat the title of the book, folks. Heaven's sakes. Here we go. Surviving Hurricane Michael, a community story of devastation, survival, and recovery. You have the author with us, Kay Dennis, Municipal Development Director for the City of Mariana. What else can we do? What can we, if we were to organize in some way, fundraisers, or if we mobilize?
That would
help us.
Yeah? That would really help us.
Right. Do you have those who advocate on your behalf, they're over here providing that voice? Because I'm wondering if you have folks that go out to the local churches, if they're showing up on a Sunday morning and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm from Mariana, here's our story.
Oh, I don't think we have that. I think we have people here in Tallahassee that advocate on our behalf,
But they're doing that where? In city hall or with the legislature?
Yeah, with the legislature.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, that's slow moving, man. I mean, that's the Mississippi River there. I'm just thinking we need a ready force. We need, right, boots on the ground kind of action.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so we've got to figure that out. All right, folks, well, there's your challenge. If you want to help the city of Marianna, if you want to help Kay Dennis, if you want to help all of our recovery and help yourself, let's figure out how we can be a contributive part of this remarkable story that is chronicled in this book, Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community Story of Devastation, Survival, and Recovery by Kay Dennis, our guest this morning. Kay, please stay in touch with us.
I will.
We'll continue this conversation.
Thank you, Brian.
Yes, ma'am. Folks, that's what I have for you today. It is a pleasure always to bring you this broadcast. As we do every week, we are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio. You'll find Moose online at moosemagnificat.com, playing all local musicians, all original songs, all the time. That is the sound of Tallahassee on Moose Magnificat Streaming Radio. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.